my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
I am glad to be in a brand new series, and we've started a new series called What's Next. Now, I am a progress person, admittedly. I pay attention to, hey, what's next all the time? Anybody else like me? Let me see your hand, or if that's you online, just come on, give me one of them emojis with the hands up. Those are always great. But listen, I am one of those progress people. Like, we've been in a building project a time or two at our house or at the church, and I sometimes am daunted by the task. I don't really know how to build a house. I don't really know how to do it. All I know is how to ask the question, what's next, right? They're like, hey, what's next? They're like, you got to go pull permits. I'm like, okay, where do I do that? And they're like, you're going to have to go over here with the county department. I'm like, all right. I walk in there and I say, I need to pull permits. And they're like, okay. And they say, here you go. You need to give me a check. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I'll be right back. And I bring a check and write that check. And then I look at them and they're looking at me and I'm like, hey, what's next? And they're like, you need to go talk to your general contractor. I'm like, okay, I call them up, done that, you know, check on the box. What's next? Come on. We moving in tomorrow? They're like, no, we gotta lay the footers tomorrow. Right? I'm always asking the question, what's next? And in a building project, I do it. A few years back, before we had kids, it's starting to become difficult to remember that, honey, before we had kids. My parents invited us to go on a cruise in memory of my grandfather. When he passed away, my mom wanted to use some of the inheritance to have a family trip to remember. And so the only cruise I've ever been on, we went to an Alaskan cruise. And if you've been on a cruise, come on there. Those are so much fun. But they tell you want to do these different excursions on different days. And I don't know. If you've ever been on vacation, you're like, we're going to do that. And then you forget, or at least I'm like that. And so I'd go do an excursion. I'm go, hey, there's a bear in a park. That's so awesome. What's next? And they're like, a glacier. I'm like, cool, there's a glacier. That's an amazing glacier. Come on, get back on the boat. What's next? And they're like, we're not heading home yet. Yeah, all right, cool. And you know, even yesterday, we were running around with our family, and our car was full, and we were just running a bunch of different errands. Our little girl started playing competitive soccer for the first time. Come on, I'm prophesying. They're going to take it to the travel teams. Come on, I don't know. I grew up playing a lot of soccer, and it was so much fun watching them do that, but we had errands to run before that. We had Dream Teamers over at the Salisbury Food Bank serving, and so every time we got in the car, it was like, all right, we did the food bank, what's next? Soccer. All right, we did soccer, what's next? And we were just constantly trying to keep up, and more than a building or vacation or daily living, we need to be asking the question, what's next in our spiritual journey? You know, Paul said it this way. He said, like an Olympian, I do not run without a goal. I have a goal in mind always, and I keep a goal in mind. And spiritually, I think sometimes we forget to have a goal in mind. Oftentimes, we can accidentally slip into existing and surviving instead of living and thriving. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's just like, man, I'm just trying to make it through the week. Anybody had a difficult week? Anybody had a slam-packed week? I hear you. That was our family. It was something after something after something after something. And we need to be able to slow down and say, spiritually, what's next? In fact, when's the last time you said that other than I made it to church on Sunday? What's next? Jesus said this, my purpose is to give them, meaning you and I, my purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. Through the next four weeks, I'm going to act like a spiritual tour guide for you, okay? You get to decide if you want to come along the journey or not, but I'm going to give you a tour guide and just try to help you take the very next steps with Jesus in your life. Whether you're far from God or whether you have served God for a long time, we're going to explore the question for 4 weeks, what's next? I already mentioned what Paul said about not running without a goal. And I keep that in mind. It would be like a runner who has no goal defined for them. Are we running a 2K or are we running a 40-yard sprint? Like, that's not even a 40-yard sprint, right? What's it called? Come on. Where's my sprinters at up in the house, right? Anyway, it's a 40-yard sprint until I get more sprinters, right? You know, the runner needs to know, how do I win the race? Where's the goal? It would be like a builder trying to being told to build without being given a plan. We too have a plan that God gives us. And Proverbs 29:18 is an incredible scripture. I want to break it down in three different translations real quick, because it says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that word vision is the word chazon in the Hebrew, and it says, it means this, revelation or dream. In other words, where there is no dreaming, where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV translation says this: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. I looked up that word too, cast off restraint. What does that mean? And in other words, that word means this: they dismiss a lot of things. Like, I'm gonna throw off restraint. It's like a boys at Little League having to stay on the base. Come on, my little nephews, they're what, 10, 11 now? They just had their birthday. I'm doing terrible. 10, that's right, two handfuls. They're 10. And one of them is playing baseball right now, and we went out to watch them play, and it's a fun time to watch them play because they're figuring out the game. Some have it, some don't. Some seem like they've been playing since they were born, and others are just new to it. And when a boy playing Little League has no vision, has no purpose, then they cast off restraint, right? You tell them to stand in the outfield, wait for a fly ball. The one with vision is like, I'm going to catch this thing. The one without vision is like, come on, just kicking things. You ever seen a Little League player on first base, and they're on first base, and the first base coach is telling them, now get ready to go to what's next. You're going to second base. And they're standing on the bag, and they're not paying attention to the batter at all because they have long since lost the vision. They have long since lost purpose, and they're just kind of going. And all of a sudden, the ball's hit, and everyone starts yelling, go, go, go. And mama's yelling, go, honey, go. And he's just looking to the sky, because he's got no vision. But the one who's locked into what's next goes, bam, the ball's hit and runs. Might even steal a base. I want to help you spiritually steal a base up in this place. Can I get an amen? You know, that word means dismissed. And I fear many have dismissed God and the church for lack of understanding vision, for lack of understanding purpose. It's not that God did wrong by you or the church did wrong by you, but maybe you didn't lock into a vision or a purpose yet, and I want to help you in this series. I love the Message Bible says this in verse 18. If people can't see what God is doing, in other words, if your life is in chaos, if there's no clear path, if you're aimless, if you cannot see what God is doing, people stumble all over themselves. Know anybody like that? Do not hit your neighbor right now. Do not yell at them from across the room if you're at home. Honey, get down here. He's speaking a message for you, right? Listen. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. That word most blessed means contentment in the soul, regardless of what life's doing around you. You can go through a pandemic or you can go through bliss. Those who have a purpose and a direction, who attend to what God's called them to do, are like whistling on a stormy day, walking and whistling, baby, because regardless of the circumstances, I have fulfillment. I have peace that I am right with God. And God wants to reveal the way of life to anyone who seeks that. In fact, this is what it says in Psalm 16. Oh God, you will show me the way of life. Say way of life. You'll show me the way of life, grant to me joy in your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Have you ever noticed, and this is what I have noticed, joy and pleasure, That should be a part of the journey. If you're not experiencing that, then I want you to draw closer again to Jesus in a personal relationship. I have been around religion before. Jesus did not die for religion. Please understand that. What we don't want you to get out of Lift Church is that if you show up on Sunday, God gives you the thumbs up and you're good. Because I've been around religion before and they seem oddly void of joy and pleasure. But when you get in a relationship with Jesus, can I get somebody to help me preach? When you get in a relationship with Jesus, all of a sudden joy and pleasure is restored. Come on. How do I know if I'm on the right path? How do I know if I'm settling for less on my spiritual journey? It's like this. Did you know Jesus already paid the bill, right? So if he already paid for dessert, why don't you get it all, right? Why don't you tell him, you might as well bring me my dessert. My girls have not gotten the revelation just yet that if we take you to Texas Roadhouse for your birthday and you let them sing the obnoxious song to you, you get a free dessert. There's free dessert on the line. You've got to grab a revelation that there are times where I might have to endure the joy and the pleasure that others find. Others love it, right? They're like, it's me, it's my birthday. Come on, everybody, look. Either way, if the bill has already been paid, which Jesus has done on the cross, why not get it all? Why not have fullness of life? And so, what is the way of life? Well, I love in the book of Exodus, there is a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross, but it comes through Moses as he's delivering the Israelites. Exodus chapter 6, if you got your Bible, go with me there. You probably need a digital Bible. We're still figuring out the lights in here. It doesn't look bright enough to read your own Bible unless you got a digital one. That's okay. But it says throughout Exodus that God's people are enslaved in Egypt. God's people who were promised milk and honey, great things, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. All this is promised, and yet here they are enslaved in Egypt, beaten backs and worn out sun-scorched skin because they are working outside every day and laboring. I labor when I put on a mask and help the dream team set up in this place. Come on, I get beard sweat going on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, I'm done with these masks. That's okay. Thank you for wearing them. Some people are not done with the mask, and we appreciate being able to minister to everybody. So I'm dealing with the beard sweat this morning. They were dealing with much worse. And Scripture says that God came to Moses in a burning bush and he said, I want you to deliver my people. Now, Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus. And this is what it says. Moses met Jesus in the burning bush. He went to the Israelites and told them, God's going to bust you loose. He went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, ha, not on my watch. In fact, make it harder on God's people. And all of a sudden, God's people said, we don't want it. Like, go away, Moses. We don't want it. And some people still do that to Jesus in relationship today. They don't understand the freedom they could have. They're just like, I'll take the devil I know rather than the freedom that I could have, rather than the peace. And it says this, that the people were scared. And God said, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. Now check out these four promises he gives us. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of your bondage, the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my very own people and be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out. Do you know those are four promises in there that God wants you to experience on your spiritual life journey? They are to know God, to not just stop there, but to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to go make a difference. I want to break them down these 4 weeks quickly. To know God is, he said, I will bring you out. In other words, you don't really know me as your deliverer yet. You don't really know me as your savior yet. You are to you I am a distant guy, the man upstairs. You don't know my great strength, my great might. Over and over in Scripture it talks about his strong right arm, his strong forearm. You don't yet know my delivering power yet, but you're gonna know me. I am going to show up where you are. You've been crying out to the skies, wondering if an answer is going to come back. But I'm telling you, you can know me. You're going to know me as I get you out. And listen, every single person is like this. We all have a spirit man inside of us. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And God says that every single person has that in them, which means this: for all mankind, everybody wants to know God. The people who claim to be farthest from God or claim there is no God, yet research why they think there is no God, because there's a longing in their heart to know where they came from. We all know at the end of the day, I don't think I evolved from a tadpole. I don't think I evolved from some sort of bacteria that just grew. If you believe that, then why don't you just lock up a tadpole or lock up some sort of biochemical thing in a room for the next 1,000 years? And do you think that they'll discover a human being at the end of the time? Like, what are we going to see in there? What are we going to see in there? They're going to open up and they're going to find it's devoid of what they thought. Because we know at the end of the day, we got here somehow. And God wants to actually meet with us. In fact, Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to know me. And listen, he is in love with you. When you discover him, you'll discover that if he has a refrigerator, your picture is on his refrigerator. He's in love with you. He loves you. Number two, find freedom. The second promise, he said, I will free you up. And in this part, it's the part of you that knows that if this thing wasn't in my life would be much better. You know what I'm talking about? If I could just knock this off, if I could just get this part of me out of my life, things would be better. God wants you to have freedom from that. Do you know that he says that whomever the Son sets free is free indeed? And sometimes I think we just stop at salvation saying, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm still struggling. Come on, and we will have our struggles, but did you know you can find freedom? In fact, I love that it's Small Group Sunday because our small groups are such a great place to find freedom. We have a group designed just for that, a freedom small group. We have a financial freedom small group. We have women's groups and men's groups and youth groups and marital groups and prayer groups and serve groups so that we can get in groups of people and find freedom. And I want to ask you, if you're here today, don't leave without signing up for a church, because I believe everybody needs to be a part of don't leave without signing up for a small group. You know, sign up for a church. I grabbed the regal chair. All right, listen. Don't leave without signing up for a small group. Find a place to belong and be on the journey of freedom. If you're at home, we have a page on our website. Go to liftsby.com and click on small groups and join one today. In fact, I want to show you two couples who are making a difference in discovering freedom, not just in their life, but helping others discover freedom in their lives. Check out this video.
I really didn't expect anything crazy out of small group because nobody really signed up for our group. And then the first night, we had tons of people come and they were so happy. And I think they were also looking for community and just diving into the Word. And what makes our small group so cool is like we're all in different paths and different stages in life. I know when we first started, we were just married and not pregnant, and now we're pregnant and everybody else had kids, and there's some people that didn't bring their husbands and some did. It was just really cool to see that.
And all different ages of kids too. We've got teenagers, mm-hmm. you know, like 9, 10, and then littles too. So it really has been a nice mixture of different types of families and couples and stuff.
What was your favorite part of your small group? I mean, for me, the food, because I'm a guy. And then the community, you know, we built really good relationships with, well, Matt Morabeth, and then everyone else in the group. And it's just, it's a safe place, I guess, for viewpoints to be expressed, and nobody really gets offended or feelings hurt.
sat for each other and provided meals and baby showers and, you know, when we're on our second baby, we got one more coming. and then just the fellowship, it was really just like everybody wanted to be there. We all were looking for that community, and so we've really been able to get close. And then because of that closeness, I think we can have real conversations in our studies and our discussions, which is beneficial for all of us.
And the biggest reason why it's important to sign up for small groups or even be a leader, it's to just grow in the Lord with each other. It's to find connection and community. I mean, look at the world events. We need each other more than ever. We need that friendship. We need that relationship. We need those group text messages. Hey, you know, something happened with a family member. Can you pray for me? I noticed that's been a big thing that goes on. And we need that. And being part of a small group gets you passionate to Sunday morning. It helps you through all those things. It gets deeper than a Sunday morning. So we need that time with each other and the ability to get to know God and each other.
I think we've all been there before where you were like, you know, oh, I want to do this, but I don't know anybody. And so I'm just going to sign up and hope that it goes well. And, you know, all the people that signed up for a group, you know, God had a purpose for that. So,
yeah, it's worth it, you know, joining the small group just with those connections, and it really helps.
Sometimes you just have to say yes.
Yeah.
Come on, will y'all give it up for the Milkerics and the Moorings, who are doing a phenomenal job with their small group. In fact, their small group's already exploding before we even got to the sign-up day today. And so they have been doing a phenomenal job. And I point at Chad over there because he's one of the four. So thank y'all for what y'all are doing. They're really doing an amazing job. And I hear that people in their small group feel close fellowship and group as well. So there, you can know God, find freedom, discover purpose. I'll talk more about this next week. But God says, I will redeem you, and then finally make a difference. God says, I will free you. And it reminds me of what Jesus said, that like Jesus said, you might be fishers right now to a group of disciples, but I want to help you make a difference. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to take you into something even deeper and even something greater. Do you know, you have a mission on your life. God ultimately wants you to make a difference. God's got a plan for you, and he wants you to make a difference with your life too. About 4 or 5 years ago, I got asked to be a part of a small two-man committee at a church I was at, and this was a denominational church, and they said that we want you to go to Chicago with this other man that I enjoyed going with, and we want you to explore what the denomination's talking about doing to make things better and to really save some things. And I thought, cool, I'll go check it out. And I went, and while there were a lot of people wildly excited about restoring the denomination and different things like that, I felt like God gave me a picture in the middle of it, and this was the picture that I had. It was as if I was in a boat with the church, right? And the church was full of a bunch of boats in the middle of a sea, and there were a bunch of drowning people, a bunch of lost people all around me, and here's what it felt like God was speaking to me, and that is this. We got a lot of people excited about the boat, and the boat is just a vessel to get a whole bunch of lost, drowning people out of the water before we run out of time. We need to be in the business of saving people. We need to be in the business of helping people get out of the water and find freedom and know God. And I don't care what boat I do that in. I don't want to have conferences about boats. Come on, we're all having these boats. Check out my boat. Look at my boat. It was as if they were saying that our boat's taking a few holes. We got leaks here and there and everywhere. And I felt like God was saying, if I offer you a new boat, would you stay and repair the boat that you're in, or would you get back to the mission that I gave you in the first place? And that is, I will ditch that boat, jump in a new fine craft, and go save more people. Can I get an amen up in here? You see, we need to be about making a difference. And so I want to see people come to a loving relationship with a God who's in love with them, got their picture on his refrigerator, and yet they're drowning in a sea of water, and God's got a plan for you and me to be a part of making a difference. John 17, 18 says this, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, this is Jesus speaking, I give them a mission in this world. Come on, right now, if you're in the same room with somebody, or point to your neighbor next to you and say, God gave you a mission too. We are on mission. God has given us a mission. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for us to do. People feel better and their life turned around when they're making a difference. And God wants to use you and I to make a difference. We can't stop at salvation. We can't stop at just merely existing and barely surviving. God wants us to be living and thriving. So here's three quick things that we should be doing to make a difference. Number one, make a difference in my world. In other words, you make a difference in your world. Your family, your extended family, your local area. Proverbs 3:27 says this, never walk away from someone who deserves your help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Make a difference in your world, your family, your workplace, your friends, the teams your kids are on, the teams you are on, the college you attend, the school you're in. Make a spiritual difference in that place, you know. This past Labor Day, on Monday, we went out to the skipjack races because my wife's family has a boat in the extended family, and I want to show you a picture that moved us because this past year, within the year, we lost her grandfather. Do we have that picture? Thank you very much. And I love that they have this beautiful skipjack out there, but this is the part I love the most. If you look at the sign on the sign, and it says this, Albert Gladden, and it says this, he won the race. You know, life's not about the boat race that's going to last for the next 3 hours. Life has a bigger race, and the question is, are you going to run your race? Are you going to make a difference in your world? What I love is that in this world, in Salisbury, I joked with people, if we had gotten married here and first lived here, we got married in Louisiana and lived there our first 3 years, I joked I would have taken my wife's name because that Gladden name, he had done so much for the community, for his church, for anybody. In fact, every time I went over there, I'd go over there to cut his grass in his latter years, and he'd have somebody who was at his house, someone he didn't even really know. And I'm just like, I want to cut your grass and go back home and be with my family. And he'd stop and go, this guy right here, you need to know him. This is Pastor Drew. He's a preacher. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell him about Jesus. he put me on the spot every time. I'm like, man, I just want to cut your grass and go home. Yeah, you should come. You know, and I'm telling him about Jesus. But listen, he never wasted an opportunity to tell somebody in his world about Jesus. Wow, that was loud. I don't know whose that was. That was probably mine. Number two, make a difference beyond my world. Let me say this real quick about number one as I'm closing and the band can come join me. About number one, making a difference in your world. In 3 weeks from now, on the fourth week of this series, 3 weeks from now, if you know someone who's far from God, it will be the best opportunity to invite them to Lift Church. I'm going to share a salvation message, and I'm going to make it as clear as I know how what God has done for you and I through Jesus on the cross. And so anyone you know who's far from God, invite them in 3 weeks from now to come. Number two, make a difference beyond my world. Galatians 6 says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. And that's why at Lift Church, we reach beyond our family. We reach beyond our attendance. We reach beyond the people who come. In fact, yesterday, show that picture up there and at home. This is what I love. We had about 13 people come out from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and we just started serving at the local food bank, and we got hundreds of pounds of food that is going out. I love what they said about the food bank. Typically, they reach so many people, I forgot the numbers. they're reaching like 6 times the normal amount of people and feeding them in this time. And they said, we would not be able to reach that many without the church and people like you. So come on. That's so cool. We also partnered with Glen Avenue Elementary School. And even though they're digital, they called us up and they said, can we start prayer with our faculty? And so we're praying with their faculty 2 times a month. We continue to partner with Halo. I preached there 2 weeks ago. Every 4th Sunday of the month, we go there and bring a spiritual word and worship to over to the homeless in our area. We're now connected with Eastern Shore Pregnancy Center, and we've even served Salisbury Urban Ministries, and we are even doing stuff beyond our areas. Did you know that when you give at Lift Church, you not only provide ministry to this city, but we even invest in launching new churches? And so put up this graphic. Did you know in this next season, we are helping to launch 32 new churches all throughout the United States? I'm talking about next month or two. And if you've given, you are a part of planting those churches. Number 3, make a difference in the whole world. Mark 16, Jesus says, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. And you know, I've read the Bible before, and Paul will oftentimes start an epistle saying greetings from the saints here, and he often closes by saying, we send our greetings and our love. And sometimes I didn't get that. I just thought it was kind opening and closing talk, until I've been on a mission field before, and I said this: greetings from Maryland to you in Ghana, Africa. Greetings from Maryland to you in Haiti. Greetings to you from Guadalajara. You know what it says to the people there? Even if I don't need anything, even if like Maryland doesn't feel like Maryland's doing anything, this is what it says to the people: I am seen, God cares, I am on His mind. Do you know every time we get involved with going out into the world, you might say, but I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. Your presence says, I am seen, God is aware, I am on His mind. Come on. So we need to be making a difference with our life. You know, not just existing, but living. Not just surviving, but thriving. We can be trying to convince ourselves to be content making a dollar, but you know in your soul that you were designed to make a difference. I can't just clock in and clock out. I love, some people may complain that, hey, the millennials do this, the millennials do that. You know what I love about the millennial generation? They're no longer content with working for people who just give them a paycheck. They want to be on a mission. I want to know that my life's making a difference. I want to get behind something. I don't just want to make money and go home and put food on the table. I want to go home knowing when I put my head on the pillow, I made a difference. Today I make a difference. And you know, some of us might not find that liberty in our workplace, but you know what? We can always find that in Christ, who has called us His workmanship and masterpiece and has got a plan. We want you to make a difference in your life. And I began this series with the end in mind. I'm going to help you get there like a spiritual tour guide for the next 3 weeks. Stay bridled to the process, and we're believing that's going to happen. But right now in this place, I want to pray over everybody here. If you would just open your hands like you're receiving this.